Good morning, and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McLeay. I'm your host on Thursdays here on Mornings for the Master. I want to thank you for joining me today and hope you'll spend the next little bit with me as we spend this time in God's Word. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and different courses of study. And in our Thursday edition at this time, we are nearing the completion of our study of the book of John. Today, we are going to be looking at chapter 20 as we consider our risen Savior. I would remind you that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. There you can pull up previous programs of Mornings for the Master or other programs heard here on TGRN. But now let's get to the matter at hand this morning as we look at John chapter 20. Now, as we studied last week, Jesus had now suffered upon the cross. He had endured the agony of the cross. And on that cross, he had laid down his life for the sins of his creation. Jesus had prophesied of these very events taking place, and that is what we see. And he had also prophesied that he would be resurrected. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 19, we read that he had said that they would deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But it did not end there, for next it says, "And the third day he will rise again." But Jesus had also spoken of this event on other occasions. This was not a one-time isolated comment. It was well planned and well noted. Consider chapter 17 of Matthew in verse 9. "Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.'" Jesus also spoke to this in Matthew chapter 12. There, consider verse 39. "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Of course, that being that Jonah had spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, and then he was resurrected out of that as it spit him out. And so we find that Jesus also would be resurrected after 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. Now the disciples at this point still had not understood what Jesus was prophesying. But now here in our text today in chapter 20, John writes clearly that even the apostles were not expecting an empty tomb on that third morning. Let's consider this core foundation of our belief, an empty tomb. Let's go now to John chapter 20, and we begin in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now let's go back to verse 1 and look closer at these events. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So we find that it was the first day of the week. It was Sunday morning as she went. Now, it is interesting that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none refer to this as the third day. They all would point to it being the first day of the week, that it was Sunday. Clearly, the Holy Spirit wanted us to know this, because to this point it had always been talked about as the third day. Our Lord Jesus would rise from the dead on a Sunday morning. And from the institution of the church till the Lord comes again, we will take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, on Sunday. We do this because Sunday is the day of our Lord's resurrection. We will offer our worship to our Lord Jesus every first day of the week. Every Sunday morning we assemble together. Mary Magdalene was the first to arrive at the tomb on that blessed Sunday morning. We recall that Jesus had been laid in this tomb hurriedly so they could complete this before the Passover had begun. And so it would seem that Jesus, in their haste to complete the burial, had not properly or completely prepared his body for the burial in accordance with their Jewish traditions. So Mary and other women would come to finish the permanent preparation of the body for burial. And so when Mary Magdalene arrives at the tomb, she sees that that stone that had been placed in front of the tomb had been removed. And now let's see what she does as we go to verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Mary Magdalene, when she finds the stone in front of the tomb rolled away, immediately leaves and goes and seeks out Peter and John. But now notice here that she is not looking for this resurrection either, apparently. She did not tell Peter and John that Jesus had risen from the dead in accordance with the words of Jesus. In fact, at this point, Mary Magdalene does not believe that the resurrection has occurred. Mary assumes that somebody had taken away the body of Jesus. In her mind, no doubt it would have likely been the Roman soldiers or perhaps the Jewish leaders that hated Jesus. And so, upon relaying this news to Peter and John, we see in verse 3 that Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. In fact, Peter and John would run to the tomb upon hearing the words of Mary Magdalene. Verse 4. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. You have to love Peter and John. John was apparently quite a bit younger man than Peter, and having more physical energy, John outraces Peter to the tomb. We might picture an athletic type young John setting a great pace. In my mind, I picture the older Peter, who starts out hard, but his body is not able to cash the check, we might say. And so he reaches it later, huffing and puffing, probably bent down with his hands on his knees. And John is there in amazement awaiting for Peter. And so now we see, as John now gets to the tomb, in verse 5, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in." So now, arriving first at the tomb, John looks down in the entrance. It says he stoops down and he looks into the tomb. And inside he finds that the linens that Jesus had been wrapped in had been, they were laying there now. John does not enter the tomb though, but he can see all the evidence that he needs just by looking in the tomb. And so, little bit of time had passed here, and finally, in verse 6, Peter, doing his best, finally arrives at the tomb. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. So Peter now arrives, and being Peter, he barrels straight into the tomb. Peter sees the same sight that John had seen just a few minutes earlier from the entrance to the tomb. Now we see an additional detail here in verse 7 that Peter notes. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. So Peter sees the handkerchief that had been folded around Jesus' head. The handkerchief had been wrapped around his head, was now not with the other clothes. It could be that John, from the entrance to the tomb, did not even notice this. But unlike the other burial clothes, this handkerchief was folded up neatly, and it was by itself. Now, if we consider, there is an importance to this. If the soldiers had removed the body of Jesus, or if some of the Jews had come along and robbed the tomb and taken the Lord's body, they certainly would have done it in a hurry. And they certainly would not have taken the time to fold the clothing that he had on. The only explanation that can make any sense here is that when Jesus arose from death, that the Lord had taken and folded the cloth before leaving the tomb. You might think of it as Jesus had overcome death, that likely that he may have stood there for a moment or so to collect his thoughts, to gather himself before embarking out of the tomb. And so now in verse 8 we see John now joins Peter inside the tomb. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. So John now joins Peter inside the tomb in amazement, and now as believers in the resurrection. Verse 9 says, concerning Peter and John, for as yet they did not know the Scripture, but that he must rise again from the dead. Again, this is very important. John now believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Up until this moment, they did not understand or even believe the resurrection would occur at that up to this point. They did not know it was going to occur, even though the Lord Jesus had told them this very thing. We have to ask the question, How many individuals today fail to believe because, like Peter and John, they did not know the Scriptures? And so now, certainly Peter and John would have had thoughts racing their mind through their minds about what to do next. And verse 10 says, "Then the disciples went away again to their own homes," obviously giving a great deal of thought to this event. Now, as we continue forward, we find Jesus now begins to appear to various individuals. First, we're going to find Jesus appears to Mary. Let's now notice verses 11 through 18. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her." Now, again, let's go back and look closer as we return to verse 11. As now Mary was at the tomb. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb." Mary, full of sorrow, stays at the side of the tomb, weeping with tears of sadness. For all that had already happened, the Lord had been taken from her and the others, and in her mind now, Jesus' body has been stolen away. And she doesn't even have the ability now to complete a proper burial for Jesus. And in great sorrow, Mary now stoops down and she looks into the tomb as Peter and John had done earlier. She may have done this because of what Peter and John may have said to her before they had departed for their own houses. But now, look at verse 12. "And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." So this had not been seen by Peter and John, but Mary sees two angels dressed in a brilliant white, and they were sitting where Jesus had earlier been laying. What a privilege for Mary. What an incredible sight for her to be witness of. And then they speak to her in verse 13. Can you imagine being spoken to by an angel? I would probably have fainted on the spot. In verse 13, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." The angels asked her, Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? And so Mary relates to the angels what she thinks has taken place. She tells them that somebody has taken away my Lord. They've stolen his body. And this is what she genuinely believes, and she is genuinely sorrowful because she does not know where someone has taken the body of Jesus. And then in verse 14, when she had concluded saying making this statement to the angels. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. How odd that Mary is looking for Jesus and she is in the one place that she was never going to find him, that empty tomb. She then sees someone standing in the door, but she does not recognize that it is the Lord. Perhaps the early morning sunlight was behind Jesus, maybe causing a glare, making it where she could not recognize them. It doesn't tell us. But she then sees someone standing in the door and does not recognize that it is Jesus. And then Jesus speaks to her. The first recorded words of Jesus following the resurrection. In verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." So Jesus asked Mary the same question that the angels had asked of her. He wanted to know, why was she sorrowful? Why was she crying? Mary, not realizing that this is Jesus, thinks that she's talking to the caretaker of the tombs in the area, the gardener, as it's translated here. In her mind, she thought possibly that this caretaker had moved the body for some reason unknown to her. And so she offers to the man. She tells him that she could go pick up the body for him if he has moved it. Mary still had not gotten hold of the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. And so the Lord speaks to her in verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. What an incredible moment. A moment beyond comprehension. The risen Savior speaks to Mary. He calls to her by name, Mary. And in the voice that she would recognize, Mary now instantly knew that this was her Lord. She did not recognize the Lord when she first saw him, but she now believed when she heard him. We think of the words of our Lord in John chapter 10. As he spoke of the good shepherd in verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Mary knew the voice of Jesus. We do not have to see Jesus to believe that Jesus lives. We can believe through his words. Peter would later say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, referring to Jesus, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And Jesus now further speaks to her in verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So, in the presence of Jesus, Mary quickly clings to him. And that is certainly not hard to understand. She had been searching for the one she believed to be dead, and now he was alive. But Jesus tells her to let go of him, not to cling to him, because he was not going to be staying. But he gives Mary a message, and he tells Mary to take this information back to Peter and to John and the other apostles. He said in the latter part of verse 17, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Do you see the words of Jesus here? He is not returning just to his Father and God, but he is also returning to your God and your Father. Because Jesus had died upon that cross and risen from the tomb, the dead, on that third day, you and I now have the privilege to call the Lord Jesus our Father, our God. We were separated from God by sin, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. But now we have been reconciled, and we are now the children of our Father God. If we go back to chapter 1, consider verses 11 through 13. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. What an incredible moment it must have been when Mary related these events to Peter and John and the other apostles, that she had seen the Lord. But it wouldn't be just Mary, for he would soon appear to other disciples. Let's go now to verse 19 and look at verses 19 through 23 as Jesus appears again. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. For if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, going back to verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So now it was evening on that first Sunday, and the disciples were gathered together. Notice they had locked the doors for fear of the Jews. It was certainly a dangerous thing to be a disciple of Christ in those days around Jerusalem. The apostles, all the disciples, had to consider the danger of almost anything they did and everywhere they went. They were certainly mindful of these things, for it was fear that drove them to flee when Jesus was arrested in the garden. Fear is the very reason they fled from the scene of the cross, and it is why the doors are locked as they gathered together late on this first day of the week. But while they're in the room, in this locked room, suddenly Jesus appears to them in the room. Now Jesus, his appearing to them was a miraculous event, for the doors were not opened. So we understand the miraculous element, but this was not a ghost or a spirit appearing before them. Jesus is in the same body that had been crucified and had spent 3 days in the earth, and the scars were still upon his body. So yes, there was a miraculous element to his appearing, but he was still the same Jesus. We might recall that Jesus had done something very similar to this earlier when the Jews were about to throw him off a cliff. Think back to Luke chapter 4 and verses 29 and 30. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Jesus could do these things because he was God. Jesus is Lord of all creation. Jesus is compassionate and merciful as he appears to them. And we see that immediately he speaks to them and tells them, "Peace be with you." You know, there are so many things Jesus could have said here. If it had been you or I, we might have said something from an aroused state of mind, like, "What in the world is wrong with you? How dumb can you be? What is it going to take to get through to you people?" But there was no wrath in Jesus. Jesus did not show anger. Instead, he said, "Peace be with you." Jesus, the risen Jesus, is full of love, forgiveness, and mercy to a sinful man. And then in verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus gives them all the evidence that he was truly resurrected. He showed them his hands. He showed him his side. The disciples, who previously did not believe in the resurrection, now truly believed. They believed that Jesus was truly risen from the dead. And they were happy. And they were amazed and overwhelmed. In verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And so, he gives them their commission. And in light of this, now we can better understand verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The apostles would have the Holy Spirit to help them in their mission. The Holy Spirit would give them the words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. It is the very breath of God. In verse 23, Jesus said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Notice how close this is to what we read in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus was giving the apostles the authority to continue his work. Consider what Jesus has said. the breath of God. He breathed on them. It is in light of Ezekiel 37, Genesis chapter 2, among others, the breath, the very source of life. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he was given life. God breathed into the dead bones in Ezekiel's visions and the bone came to life. Jesus is commissioning the apostles to carry on his work, the work that will give life to all who hear them and respond. And so now as we move forward, we see Jesus again appear to disciples. Let's notice beginning in verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What a great place for us to stop today. I would encourage you to join us again next week as we continue, as we pick up with Jesus' encounter here with Thomas. Our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in the next day or two. I hope that you will stay tuned today for further programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. Be sure and tune in tomorrow with host Preston McElyea for another edition of Mornings for the Master. So, if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time as we continue in John chapter 20. And until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, may God bless you, and have a great day.